Well, good morning to everyone. Glad we can all be here today. Write a couple words on the board. Like to talk to us today about spirit and inspiration. I feel like I got a bucket full, so probably have to see how this goes, but I may have to finish it this evening. I'd like to turn to Job, the 32nd chapter in the Old Testament here. Notice something that in beginning, Job chapter 32, beginning in verse 6. We know the story of Job and how he was in a very perplexing situation. He'd lost all of his possessions, been reduced from wealth to poverty. And then from that, he went from health to affliction. And he went from acceptance to accusation. He went from the applause of men to the criticism of men. So he was in a bad place. I don't know how things are going right now for you, but I've had those times when people have made me think that I was the best thing since sliced bread, and then other times people have let me know that I was kind of a miserable excuse for an individual. So we've all had those times at some time or another. And Job was at the bottom. And not only was he at the bottom in all of those things, but his friends had come and they were trying to cross-examine him to the point that he would acknowledge that it was all his own fault. So I don't know how you could get in more precarious situation emotionally and spiritually than Job was in. But in chapter 32, beginning in verse 6, it says, "And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old." So he was obviously much younger than Job and his other friends. He said, "I was afraid and durst not shew you my opinion. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom." So he's saying, I've tried to be respectful to those that's older, wiser, has more knowledge and experience than me. And he says in verse 8, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. So I want to focus on the 8th verse here today. He says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. We have a spirit, and this is what he was alluding to. Every one of us has a spirit in us. And if we will allow it, the inspiration of the Almighty, the God of heaven, will give us understanding. It'll give us wisdom. It'll give us direction and help in life. There's a natural element in each one of our spirits, and it's usually manifested at a very early age. And because the spirit is highly impressionable, it's the reason that it's so important for parents to begin to try to shape that spirit. A spirit that's left to just go on its own will end up causing many times a lot of grief. It may cause a lot of grief to people around directly, and it may do it indirectly. God can, and he will, prompt the spirit of man if we will let him. When little children come into this world, you, the parents, are the connection between them and God. And it's a time that they have to begin to learn how to control their spirits. Okay? In the book of Daniel, in the 5th chapter and 11th verse, you can turn there if you like. I'm just going to read it from my notes here. It says, "There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers." Now, I don't know what comes to your mind, but I'm thinking about how difficult it would be to ride herd on magicians, astrologers, soothsayers, and Chaldeans. I think that would be a very challenging proposition to get all of those kind of people to get along. There's going to be lots of ideas. There's going to be a lot of conflicting opinions. And it says here that Daniel, the man that he's referring to here in this verse, had the spirit of the holy gods in him to the point that Nebuchadnezzar had put him in charge of all of those different schools of thought. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a lot of wisdom. And that's a lot of understanding. That's a lot of mental capacity. And no one can have that without some help. And so I just want to convey to us that Daniel had the spirit of the Lord. The verse we started with said there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God giveth him understanding. Now, for Daniel to be a standout in that particular area, I believe it also stands to reason that there was a lot of people that didn't have the Spirit of the Lord in them. So there's a choice as we become more mature and our little children become teenagers and young adults and more mature, and I'm older now, and there's an expectation that we would have more understanding and more of the Spirit of the Lord as we get older. But I have a choice, just like you have a choice as an adult, whether I would be would allow the inspiration of God to impact my spirit or not. And Daniel did, but I believe it goes without saying that there was a lot of people that didn't. There were people that had the same opportunity as Daniel had that didn't. There's going to be people that have as good or better opportunity than you have, and they don't take advantage of it. And there's going to be people that you wonder how they could have ever come to grasp of knowing the Lord. Maybe they had a very unfortunate upbringing, and yet they have a solid connection and they have yielded their spirit to the inspiration of God. And it's because we have a choice as to whether we allow God to work with our spirit or not. Our spirit can be subjected to other inspiration. There's people that are inspired to do things that's against the law. I don't know where it all comes from, other than it comes from the devil ultimately. But there's people that get inspiration to do things in the middle of the night when they should have been in bed. To do things that's not nice, that they shouldn't have never been thinking about. But the inspiration comes from something, and it's because they allowed their spirit to be impacted by that. And we see and are stuck with the results. I'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes, another book in the Old Testament. And I would like to look at the third chapter, Ecclesiastes is a book that's quite famous for having things hard to understand in it. So let's turn chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts." Okay? "Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dies, so the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity." Every one of us, man and beast alike, we breathe the same air. Now, fish are a little bit different, but we breathe the same air the birds do. We're impacted by the same climate as the creatures around us until we go in the house. All go into one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Everything that it has the breath of life in it, when it ceases to live, it turns back to dirt. Pretty plain. Okay, so far it's pretty easy to understand. Verse 21 says, "Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth?" Your spirit is kind of like it's encapsulated in something we call a soul. And a beast doesn't have a soul. The beast is not held morally responsible, although it's got a spirit. We have, maybe this is a place to tell this. I've got cows that are introverts, and I've got some that's extroverts. You know what I mean by an introvert and an extrovert? I've got a cow that, when there's a new calf in the pasture, becomes very possessive of that, even when it's not her calf. And if I'm out there and I'm trying to do something with that calf, she makes it her business to get me out of the pasture. She is not friendly when there's a new baby calf. And I have another calf that I classify as an introvert. I take a bale of hay out, put it in the hay ring, I back my tractor up, and the cows all just converge on that bale of hay. They're all interested in pushing and shoving, except one. I've got this one cow that'll stand back and let everybody else push and shove. She won't even go close to that bale of hay, no matter if she's hungry or not, until I bring the second bale of hay out and put it in the hay ring. And she seems to know that I'm going to put more hay out. And she just waits patiently. And I put more out, and then it can be the first one there, and she can have that bale of hay all to herself until all of the extroverts over there glance over and see that she's got a whole bale to herself, and then they come running over to her. Now, I'm just going to tell you that these two cows demonstrate two different spirits. And if you've been around livestock, maybe you've got some dogs or some cats or chickens, or I don't know if chickens got a spirit in them or not. But anyway, if you've got some animals around your place, you will notice I've got a dog that's an introvert. It's not very aggressive. She likes to she's a friendly dog and all of that, but she's not the type that's just in your face. But when they're gone, when they cease to live any longer, they don't have a soul that God's going to hold accountable for trying to get me out of the pasture or being extra nice. They're just not made that way. But God gave you something that He didn't give my cows. He gave us something called a soul. So, we think about a verse in the New Testament in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. I got a place I'm going with all this today, so bear with us. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, I believe it is. It says, "For the word of God," that's the scripture, That's the communication God can give us directly when he speaks to our heart and pricks us with conviction, speaks a word of encouragement, brings a thought to our minds and our hearts that would inspire us, give us understanding. That's the verse we started with, isn't it? Verse 12, chapter 4 of Hebrews says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is how sharp it is. This is how decisive it is. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Remember what I said? Your soul encapsulates your spirit. Your soul is what's going to be held accountable before God. But in that soul, there's something called a spirit. Now, you've heard it said maybe that somebody has a bad spirit or a good spirit or something like that. Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have to give an account of the kind of spirit that you're of. All right? He says it's able, the Word of God is able to differentiate. It's able to discern between what part of this is a soul and what part of this is just a spirit that needs some impact, some influence. He says, and of the joints and marrow, it's able, you know, medical world today can separate the bone and the marrow. They know how to do that kind of thing, but it's not an easy thing to do. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of the Lord can do this. And he uses the example of a sword in the joints and marrow. How would you like to take a sword and try to separate joints and marrow? It wouldn't work out very good. But the word of the Lord, he's using that as a comparison. The word of the Lord is so much better than a sword trying to separate joints and marrow. The word of the Lord is able to get down and help us know what part of this of me is responsible and going to be held accountable before God, and what part of this is my spirit. Now, all of us here could be classified in two basic categories, and I'm not going to try to do that this morning. Some of us here are more extroverts, and some of us are introverts. And you could go down that path a long ways, both directions, and elaborate on what all that entails and all of that. And if you want to call it a different name, I don't care. But we have a different spiritual makeup that we're born with. And when they come in, we come into this world as little children, that's what we have to deal with as parents, is that little spirit. And we're constantly trying to shape it to something that's compatible with the environment we want at the house. Sometimes that means they need a little boost, and sometimes that means it needs some strapping down. All right? I'd like to go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And the 13th verse. It says, begin the 15th verse, I'm sorry. Paul here is speaking to Timothy, and he's already identified that he has a background that has exposed him to good things, to the word of the Lord. He says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And when at that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now remember, the verse we started with over there was that the inspiration of the Almighty will give us understanding. There's a spirit in man. But the inspiration of the Almighty will help us tone our spirit down, give our spirit a little motivation, whatever it needs. He says here that the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The inspiration of the Almighty would do what? In Job it says it would give us understanding. It would help to stabilize and direct and encourage and motivate and whatever you might want to say, it will cause our spirit to be more compatible with God, with our fellow man. It will help us be an asset to His kingdom and cause us to be able to be beneficial to His cause. He says here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That sounds like it'll do a lot for us, doesn't it? I believe it will. It'll help my spirit. The places that my spirit in itself need help. And I don't know if you recognize this, but I recognize it. In myself, my spirit needs help. There's times that my spirit, if I left it go unchecked, wouldn't end up so well. In fact, if I reflect on what my spirit would do or could do, sometimes it can be kind of alarming. And that's why I need the inspiration of God to direct and to mold and to shape my spirit. All right? Paul seems to recognize that Timothy has some of the similar background that he had. Paul was raised up. He got a lot of instruction. He got a lot of exposure to the scriptures as a young man. And he tells Timothy, you allow this, the scripture, you allow your exposure to the things of God to shape and mold your spirit. I need it too. Every one of us, I believe, needs that. So I'd like to go to Acts, the 8th chapter. I want to notice something here in action. In Acts, the 8th chapter, we have the story of a man that had visited Jerusalem, and I believe he was on his way home to Ethiopia. He was riding in a chariot, and as he was riding, he was trying to read the book of Isaiah, and in his effort to read, I believe he was perplexed in his spirit. He wasn't totally understanding, and Philip came along somehow it happened, he ended up in the chariot with him, and he began to he asked him a few questions. In verse 34, we're just going to pick this story up in midstream. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? What was the writer even talking about? Now, Isaiah was a prophet, and he wrote a lot of things in prophecy. He spoke a lot about what was going to happen when Christ came. So it says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's what the prophecy was about. So he began to preach to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we know how this ended. He got baptized. Now, I'm going to ask you something. If he hadn't been reading the book of Isaiah, and if he hadn't given an opportunity for Philip to join him in the chariot, do you think he would have ever had the inspiration to get baptized? I think the odds are very slim. So here's what I'm wanting to try to say to us this morning. You want the inspiration of the Almighty to give you understanding? Do you? Then what do we got to do? We got to put ourselves in a place where the Spirit can do that. If I'm doing something that's in opposition to God and His Spirit, You think the Lord's going to inspire me to get baptized? Like, not very likely. You know, we're going to need a lightning bolt experience like Paul had. But I'm going to tell you, if you will take the scripture, whether you're reading it like this, or whether you're listening to it in your earbuds, or you're, or however you're doing, if you will cultivate putting yourself in a place to where the Lord can use the scripture, use good, wholesome songs or something to kind of start speaking to your heart. I believe that this man, maybe he was a highly educated, technical person, and he was reading through this and is like, what? Well, obviously he didn't know what he was reading, because he asked Philip, who's he talking about? And Philip took the scripture that he had been reading and began to preach to him about Jesus that had just been crucified not long before, and how that Jesus came and died for our sins, and that we could be redeemed and we could be different. He could change our nature. And the Ethiopian said, well, I want some of that. What would keep me? He was inspired then. The inspiration of the Almighty gave him understanding. He was able to get it. We want to get it. We've got to put ourselves in a place that the inspiration of the Lord can touch us. All right? If we don't ever train our spirit to be in tune with the will of the Lord, we probably won't ever get any inspiration. We train our children to obey when we speak to them. That's what we try to do. We teach them how to do certain things. We expect, if we don't ever teach them, they'll never be able to do a lot of that, those kind of things. All right? I say that. Maybe that's a little bit too far, but let's go to Matthew quickly. We might make it through this with the help of the Lord. Let's go to Matthew. I'd like for you to get the full meal deal here this morning. Matthew, the 9th chapter. And we have a case here where there was a woman that had a physical need in her body. In Matthew 9, in verse 20, it says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. You've heard that story before, hadn't you? How this woman come pressing through the crowd, and in my mind it got to the point that she couldn't even stand up anymore, that she was kind of crawling on her hands and knees. Maybe that's not the right picture, but that's why it's appeared to me. And somehow she got through and was able to touch the hem, or the bottom part of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So here's the situation. This woman had, we would say, an affliction. She had a disease where she had an issue of blood. For how long? 12 years. Now, in the Bible times, the priests were not, this woman would have been classified as unclean because she had an issue of blood. And the priests weren't supposed to touch her when she had an issue of blood. I'm not going to go too far down that path. I just want to bring that to our attention that according to the old law, she was not eligible to come close to Jesus. All right? Do you think she wanted to be close to Jesus? She did. You think she thought about, you know, what did Zacchaeus do? You remember Zacchaeus? He's this little guy that probably couldn't see over this desk. Or if he could, it just, I doubt he could. I just think Zacchaeus was so short, it'd be like me down here like this. Kalani, are you listening? You know, just barely see the top of my head. And Zacchaeus was inspired to go run ahead and climb up in a tree so he could see Jesus. Why? He wanted to see him. This woman wanted to receive something from Jesus. So she pressed through the crowd just as far as she dared. And there was probably people that said, "What are you doing here? We know what your problems are. You know you can't get up there close to Jesus." But she had inspiration that if she could only touch the hem of his garment, that she could receive healing. She wouldn't even have to hear him pray for her. He wouldn't have to reach out and put his hand on her and defile himself if she could just touch it. And she did. And he did. She received her healing. Where did she get that inspiration from? I don't think it was this random thing that's, "Oh, why don't you just wedge yourself in the crowd and stumble and fall and grab his garment?" No, I don't think. I think she was thinking about this. She had been cultivating this desire. "I want to be able to touch Jesus some way, somehow." And her inspiration caused her to get the desire of her heart. The inspiration of the Almighty. You think God inspired her to press through the crowd? I believe he did. Wisdom and inspiration are closely related. In James 3, it says, "Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy." You know, she didn't go marching up to Jesus and try to disguise what her affliction was. She knew that she really didn't have the right to go up and ask Jesus for healing. But she was inspired to somehow touch him. Now I want us to realize that your inspiration in your spirit will inspire other people. And your lack of inspiration will affect other people too. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter. And we'd like to begin to read in the 34th verse, Matthew chapter 14. I believe that this chapter and this account is chronologically later. How much later? I don't know. But I believe it was later on the calendar. Okay? So Matthew chapter 14, verse 34, it says, "And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men that of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased." That wasn't different than it had ever been before. "And besought him that they might only touch," what? "The hem of his garment. And as many as were touched were made perfectly whole." When you are seeking the Lord for inspiration, and you're asking him for understanding and for wisdom, the wisdom that's from above, that's pure, that's wholesome, that will lift up your soul, will bring you into a place of fellowship and close proximity with God. And when you apply yourself to that and you receive that inspiration and you act upon it, it's going to cause other people to want to get the same results and do the same things to get those results. Okay? When your little children that you're trying to shape and cause them to know how or when the right time is to be quiet and the right time to be heard and the right time to stand up and the right, all of those things that parents are challenged with. You're trying to shape their little spirit so you can live with them and they can live with you. And as time goes on and they start watching you and how you live, and if you're living a life that is following the wisdom that's from above, you know what they're going to be inspired to do? Live like you do. Don't forget that. And if you don't follow that direction, you know what they're going to be inspired to do? Live like you do. If you cultivate a meek and a gentle and a kind spirit, you cultivate an appetite for the Word. You cultivate a relationship with the Lord. And they see that. It's why little girls grow up and want to marry daddy. Because they think he's the best thing that ever was. It just happens. It's why little boys grow up and they want to be like their parents. It's why little girls want to emulate their mothers. And do things like their mother did it. It's because they saw something in it. What their mother did or what their father did inspired them. These people had heard about the lady that pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Do you agree with that? They had to. They had to have heard the story. Don't you know that, as far as I know, that's the first time it ever happened that somebody pressed through the crowd and pushed, excuse me, could I get right there? I'm trying to be able to get to where I can at least touch Jesus' garment. I believe if I could only touch a portion of his garment that I'll receive the blessing I'm looking for. It made a scene that day. And from that day forward, the news got out. That woman only, he didn't even stop and put his hand on her. That woman just reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and she was immediately healed. And Jesus, I believe it says there that he felt what? He felt something go out of him. It went out of him because she had inspiration she would get something. And that spread like wildfire. Somebody else heard about it. And they brought all these people out that were diseased. And all they wanted to do, they wanted to get that experience too. They wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Your inspiration will be highly influential at inspiring other people. I would like to end with a verse in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I would like to start reading. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to read all of that. Y'all might get up and walk out on me. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I really want us to get verse 14, I believe. Well, maybe we'll read a little above that. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Beautiful words. Paul's desire for the people he's writing to in Ephesus. Goes down to verse 14. I want you to do all of this. Because he says in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I don't want you to be tossed to and fro. Remember the verse we started with? There's a spirit in man. But the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Your spirit is probably the most vulnerable thing that you have. Your spirit. It can be impacted by trends and fashions and fads and public opinion and personal conversation and peer pressure and gossip and text messages and podcasts. And you just go on and on. Your spirit is going to be impacted by that. And he says here, one of the reasons that we should subject ourselves to the right influences is so that our spirit would be given inspiration and understanding by the Almighty. If I don't get inspiration for understanding from the Almighty, I'll get it from something else. You can write that down. If I don't get my inspiration and my understanding from the Lord, I'll be getting it from something else. And my spirit will be directed by that understanding that I have. And it doesn't matter if it's a conspiracy theory or if it's some other extraneous thing that's out there. We'll all be impacted by the things that we allow to give us understanding. He says here, the whole purpose of the gospel, the whole purpose of studying to shew ourselves approved, as he told Timothy and all of that, is that we'd be no more children. Yesterday, I went with our granddaughters to this trampoline park thing over here. Y'all know where I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you. This old guy don't do very good on a trampoline. I put the special socks on and I got out there with them. And, you know, I see some of these younger ones, they hop from one trampoline to the other and they go across there like a kangaroo. And one time I jumped from one to the other and I thought I was going to crash. There was a time that my knees and my balance and my coordination could hold up a lot better, but I'm kind of stiff, all right? We lived in Oklahoma and we bought that place. There was a whole row of pine trees by our driveway. Our driveway run east and west, and we had a prevailing south wind, if y'all live in Oklahoma. And the prevailing, that part of Oklahoma anyway, the prevailing south wind had all of those trees bent over leaning to the north. And even when the wind wasn't blowing, the trees leaned to the north like that. Those pine trees had, you know, foliage on them year round. I want to be impacted by the inspiration of the Almighty. I don't want to be leaning in the way of the enemy. I don't want to lean that way. I want to consciously make an effort to put myself in a place where the Spirit of the Almighty will give me understanding, and I will know how to be no more children tossed to and fro and whipped around. I got a big oak tree at my house. It don't move very much. Put a tape measure on the bark, and I went around it one time, and it's over 16 feet around that tree. That's a big old tree. And out on the end, the branches move a little bit. But you don't look out there. If I looked out the window and I see the top of that tree kind of swaying around, it's time to go for cover. It's not a child. It was probably here when the Civil War was going on. And before, it was probably a good-sized tree in the Civil War. Don't be children, he says. We want our spirits to be steadfast. Mm. I want to end with a verse in Psalms 49 and verse 3. It says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I want that to be me. I want it to be you. I want your spirit to have understanding. I don't want you to be tossed to and fro. Oh, did you hear that? Well, I'm about to lose my balance that way. Oh, did you hear that? I'm leaning over this way. I want your spirit to be stable. How do you get there? By putting ourselves in a place like the Ethiopian did, reading the scripture, asking those that can help us, can you give us more understanding? What's this prophet talking about anyway? Lord, help us to be careful with who we allow our spirits to be impacted by. I want our spirits to be stable where we're not tossed about. You pray for me. I need the Lord's help just as much as anybody else.